saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards, we have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to Spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Now time for the second edition of this very bouncy brain edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to penetrate the mind and convince them to just pass on by. I am your resident psychonaut, Corey. I am joined by the new intern, Basher.
I'll allow it. People think these cold opens are rehearsed and written, but like, no, these are off the top. Like, Corey is that quick with it.
I'm that good. Those pauses are for dramatic effect, not me thinking. That's I've been doing this a long time, and it's a skill I put on my resume, and that's why I have no job offers currently on the table. Even during this crisis, when there's so many jobs, I make it sound like I'm homeless. But I can confirm I am not homeless.
You're recording this out your car and you still have better audio than me.
Exactly. That's how committed I am. This is Game Pass or Pass. We're going to be talking about Psychonauts 2 on this episode. But before that, did you know you can rate us on your favorite podcast service? If you rate us, we'll read it. We'll talk about it. And it helps more people find these episodes. Isn't that what we all want, to come together? Or you can shoot us a text message or voicemail at 574-651-9256. But enough of that. Let's go over the details of this long-awaited sequel, Psychonauts 2. This is developed by Double Fine Games, makers of the original Psychonauts, as well as some beloved classics like Brutal Legend and Broken Age. I almost said Double Age. I knew that wasn't right. Broken Age. Although, I don't know. I think I picked probably like the other two that are maybe their most controversial.
And I was about to say, you picked the two games that I don't like.
Right, yeah. So maybe, yeah. I actually didn't like Brutal Legend that much at all. But I did like Broken Age. I like Broken Age for what it was.
It was neat for a second, but whatever.
Yeah, it was cool. I like the art of that game. Anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. This game is regularly priced at $59.99. It is a third-person action adventure game available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. This was one of the original Fig games. You guys remember Fig? Anybody?
Fig Newtons?
No, Fig the crowdfunding platform. So I
So
the whole idea of Fig was it was like Kickstarter, but you actually got like you bought part of the development, so you bought part of the game. You actually owned part of the game. Not many games got funded through it, but this is one of them. This was one of those games. But obviously, this also took place after the Microsoft acquisition, because Microsoft did acquire Double Fine, which for some reason I keep forgetting. Don't know why. They did acquire them, and there's been publicly sort of stated that Microsoft kind of got this game over the finish line and made it a better game. I guess boss fights did not exist in this game until Microsoft was able to sort of add some funds and help them sort of ship it out the door. There is a native Xbox Series X and S version, kind of. It does run at 120 frames. There's 120 frames mode on the Xbox Series X and S that is not on the PlayStation 5. And you can get HDR on the Xbox, but it is using the auto HDR algorithm. So it is not native support. On PlayStation 5, you are basically playing the PS4 version at a slightly higher resolution. Unprofessional, sir.
Wow. That can only be a very important message.
I'm going to guarantee it's not.
It definitely isn't at all.
There's no crossplay in this game because it doesn't make sense. There is no cloud saves, though, either. So if you're on PC or Xbox, your save does not travel with you. And as of right now, there is no DLC. Psychonauts 2. Let's talk about it.
So you open up the show with a long-awaited sequel, and you're absolutely right. But I'm glad I'm part of the lucky people who kind of didn't play this when it first came out. The first one anyway, because I don't have to wait like what 15 years right. for this to come out.
Right. I guess I didn't mention that like in the whole Fig thing. So when this was funded on Fig, that was like 20, either 15 or 16. So this has been in development for 5+ years, I believe. So just to give a little context to that.
This specific title was in development for that long?
Yes.
That's interesting. how big of a team is Double Fine?
That I don't know. They're not huge, I know that, but they were also doing other projects in that time. I believe they started working on it at the end of Broken Age. And then they did like Knights and Bikes, and then was Costume Quest 2 somewhere in there as well?
Oh, I forgot Costume Quest. Okay.
And then they actually did a small Psychonauts game, Psychonauts in the Rhombus of Ruin, I think it was called, for PlayStation VR, of all things. So they've had some other projects in there, but this is their first major project in a long time.
Well, I got to say, welcome back, Psychonauts. It's good to see you again. It's definitely more of, it's one of those sequels that's definitely more of the same. It doesn't go too far outside the box in a good way.
Yeah, I struggle to say that it's more of the same because it is, but it isn't. They have 65 employees, by the way. I think it is definitely the first game, but it's a more modern version of it. You know, we talked about the first game not too long ago because we kind of played it in anticipation for this game, and I feel like a lot of my issues from that first game have been squashed. But I also find new issues in this game that were not in the first one. So I guess that's why I say I struggle to. It is definitely a sequel, though. Like, you know, a lot of times when you have this amount of time in between games, sometimes they can change. But no, like, this is legitimately a straight-up sequel.
Yeah, it definitely feels like this game was made back-to-back almost. And the only thing that changed was kind of the platforms it's on. So, like, and for me, a lot of there's just a lot of instant improvements other than visuals, obviously. I feel like it the floaty controls are a little tighter, and I'm missing way less jumps now. I had an issue in the first game hitting certain jumps. It was just a little kind of off for me, but like I feel like everything's a little tighter, a little more I feel like the edges are a little sharper in this one. It takes place, even the story-wise, it picks up right after, like, pretty much, like, just a short time after the first one, right?
Well, it actually, I believe it takes place very, very quickly after Rhombus right. of Ruin. And that didn't take place that much farther past the first one. So, no, not a lot of time has passed or anything like that.
So, that said, I mean, I don't want to blow the load early, but you already had a very good action-adventure game, Psychonauts 1, and kind of building off of that, you had, like, it just got better overall for me.
Yeah, I think the story of this game, and I don't mean, like, the actual story, I think the takeaway from this game is that they did it. Like, and they did it well, because a lot of times when you get these kind of sequels that, you know, for whatever reason, Mirror's Edge Catalyst comes to mind. You know, that was a game where the first one was very beloved. It had a very good core idea, but for whatever reason, it did not take off the way that it should have. But then people sort of came to it later, and they discovered the secret sauce of it, and they loved it. And asked for a sequel for years and years and years, and finally EA gives it to them, and it's not good. Like, they changed the formula too much. It was an open world game when it didn't need to be. Like, the core mechanics were still kind of there, but it was also like a reboot for whatever reason. Just a lot of decisions are sometimes made when something disappears for a long time and it comes back. Like, I don't think it's quite as a success as like Doom 2016, but I guess it's surprising. Like, I don't want to dog Double Fine, be like, I'm surprised they pulled it off, because I think they're talented, but I think it's just surprising that it happened. That not only did it happen, but it happened in a way that's extremely, it's good. It's good for the fans.
No, I agree. Surprise may be the wrong word, but I'm definitely impressed. The first game that came to mind was a game we were supposed to have done on this show, actually, Dishonored 2. And that was, again, kind of more of the same, you know, building off the first game that I liked a lot. But something about it just wasn't enough. I'm not sure what it was. So I think what Psychonauts 2 does for me so well is reintroduces a character and world that I did not know I was such a fan of, actually. Like, I knew I liked the world, I knew I liked the characters, but I didn't know, like, I liked it as much as I did, because as soon as I picked up the controller and started getting through the story, I was already invested in a way where I'm usually not in a game that has kind of jokey stakes. Like, I feel like the humor is back in a way where instantly I'm attached to it.
Yeah, I don't, not to totally derail this, it doesn't have the Marvel humor. Like, it's got real humor. That's something that I totally appreciate. But I think the reason it's able to do that is because it kind of fixes, in many ways, the biggest problem I had with the first game is that the first game takes forever to get going. And this game does take a while to really kind of to not hold your hand, but it does a much better job of just the on-ramp is so much easier. But it still holds true to what I personally like about the first game is that it's just so out there. Every single time that you go to a new level, it's something completely new. Like, it looks completely different. You're not doing something drastically different, but they change it up just enough that it's like, oh, like, this feels new. So every time I go to a new area, I know I'm going to be doing something different and new. And it gets to that so much quicker than the first game did. And that was really the biggest problem I have with that first game, because you start off with basically all the same powers from the first game. And they're slightly modified in a good way. And you're getting right into combat. Like, I feel like the combat doesn't even happen in the first game for like an hour or so. So it dumps you right in. So even if you're not a fan or if you haven't played the first game, you can totally still play this game and you can understand what's going on. That's just a sign to me of good writing and just good mechanics being built into the game. And they clearly thought about that because it does not stop introducing new stuff for quite a while. There's new plot lines with Raz and his because he's basically an intern now. No spoilers or anything like that. There's, you know, he's an intern now, so like there was the big thing of him wanting to become a psychonaut, and then he finally gets there, but then they throw him in the intern pool. And so there's storylines with that, but then like he also sort of meets his family, and you get to see Raz's family for the first time. And so there's a lot of little things that they drop throughout the game, and it's well paced. And like you said, with the world, like this world, I think is much bigger, but it's also easier to get around.
Oh yeah. Perfect explanation of that, because this game opens up pretty quickly. And one of the first worlds is rather large, I think. And you don't get lost though. The art style and the level design, to their credit, is so good that there are landmarks everywhere, to a point where it's like, oh, I remember that unique looking tree, or that unique bounce, that unique jump, or that weird animal. Like everything is just so kind of out there and artsy and just well designed, that no matter what area I go to, I don't feel overburdened. Even though there are a lot of collectibles, not Assassin's Creed level, but there is a quest early on, like a scavenger hunt quest, that takes you all across all the areas looking for certain items to get your clothes back. And initially I thought I would never be able to do that, or rather I thought it would be a chore to do it, but everything just kind of is laid out in a way where, oh, there that is, and break down that wall, and there that is. Like, I want to give credit to their Double Fine in their creative process, and how they just cleverly laid out their level design. Like it's very impressive. And I feel.
Yeah, like I said, and I not to repeat myself, but like it really does take up what the first game does, and it does it better in a lot of ways. That being said, for all the praise, I do, there are some, I don't want to say growing pains, but there's a couple decisions that I don't love. The quest tracker is terrible, like absolutely terrible. So I found myself that I was trying to play this game and a couple other games at the same time, just because there's stuff that I wanted to play and stuff that we were playing for the show and stuff. And so I would put it down for maybe like a day or two, and I'd come back to it, and I would be kind of lost, because the quest tracker I don't need a quest tracker to basically tell me exactly where something is, but I need a little bit of help sometimes, especially if I haven't played it for a little while. And I got kind of lost for like literally half an hour to an hour, because I was like, I don't remember what I was doing exactly, and I don't really know where I'm supposed to go. And I got kind of hard locked there. And once I figured it out, it was fine. But I could totally see people, you know, if you don't have the time to sit down and play it straight through, or come back to it relatively quickly, or if you end up leaving in the middle of a quest, you could probably get lost in a way that's, I dare want to say, almost detrimental. Like, I think it could turn you off of the game. And I don't know if, like, I can't really think of another sort of collect-a-thon style game where I've had that issue before. So I don't really know why I'm having that issue, but
I feel like part of it is I feel like there's an old school kind of design approach to this game, in a sense that a lot of the quest system and the map system and the traverse and like even the fast travel system to a degree is so built into the narrative and the world that it feels more old school in design practice rather than like a newer school game where all that stuff would be accessible from almost a hot button, where like two buttons and you're back at one location, or it's very easy to get from one place to the other. Not that it's hard to get from one place to the other here, it's just a matter of remembering where you were,
right?
As opposed
I would actually kind of say it can be kind of hard, because the game never, part of it is the map screen, like the quest log, is just, it's just like a piece of paper, like it's not really interactive or in any way. It shows you a map, Like, literally, that's it. You get the map. Like, you can't scroll on it. You can't really do anything with it. But they never blatantly also tell you where the fast travel points are. So there was an instance to where, like, I didn't even know this. There's a certain forest area that I didn't know there was a fast travel point in there until way later in the game, because it showed up on my fast travel when I was doing something else kind of thing. So I guess I would say, like, maybe that is the problem, is that it's just, I don't know if I want to call that old school, though. Like, to me, that just seems underbaked. Like, I feel like that should be that, because I'm trying to think of other collectathons, and I'm thinking like Mario Galaxy and stuff like that. But I think the difference with that is that Mario Galaxy and Mario 64 has always broken it up by, go get this star and then we're going to pull you all the way out, and then you can kind of go back in. Like, it's very easy to look at the bite-sized world. Some of them aren't bite-sized, but you can look at the level that you're on, and it very clearly gives you a direct path, whereas this is a little more open. So maybe it's the openness factor. But it's not detrimental by any means, but it's definitely something that I noticed.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's improvements to be made there. At the same time, I didn't personally find it too big of an issue, or even like too small of an issue. I remember it being an issue in the first game, and I think that's where I would agree with you. If this is your first Psychonauts game, you will absolutely have that issue and that concern. The first one is just freshened up in my mind to where I kind of knew what a fast travel looked like now. So I almost had my eye out for it. But if it was like playing the first one all over again, yeah, I would have that issue all over again. I agree with you.
So, yeah, and it's tough. But I'd belabor the point anymore. But I think the other issue, and I think I'm, I don't want to say I'm alone in this, but I think I'm mostly alone, is that, and stay with me, I got a lot of Kingdom Hearts 2 vibes from it. And what I mean by that is,
best game ever? I agree.
No.
Not?
The first time I played Kingdom Hearts 2,
I was blown away.
10 out of 10. Like 15 out of 10. I was just like, this is the best game ever made. Best game ever made. I was also like 12 and
Mickey Mouse is in it. Game over, guys. You win.
Point is that second time I played through that game, I noticed something and I couldn't unsee it. And that's that the game never shuts up. Like, every single time you enter a new screen, it wants to tell you a story. And most of the time, it's not really anything important. And I kind of feel that way about Psychonauts 2 to a degree, but I've only played it once, if that makes sense. Like, many times I was like, I would go to a new area and it's like, it'd do a little cutscene or they'd introduce something. And sometimes I'm like, that was completely pointless. And it was like 2 or 3 minutes of my time. Not that it's, you know, detrimental or anything, but I feel like the second time I play this game, like, yes, you can skip the cutscenes. And I have played Kingdom Hearts 2 since they've added being able to skip cutscenes. And I'm like, I'm always skipping cutscenes. There are moments, I don't think it's as detrimental as Kingdom Hearts 2, because there's times in Kingdom Hearts 2 where you do not get to play the game because it just never shuts up.
That's half the game. It's literally half.
Yeah, it is. And it just never shuts up. I don't think Psychonauts has that problem. There's more than enough times where I am playing the game and I'm playing it for an extended period of time. It's letting me do the thing that I want to do. But it is a little bit too chatty for my liking. And I think as time goes on, I think that will rear its head more. The first time through, obviously, like I said, like, you're interested because this world is genuinely fun and you want to learn more about it. But then sometimes when they stop talking, it's like, okay, that literally didn't do anything for me. So I don't think it's a massive point, but it's something that stuck out to me, that it would definitely affect, like, if I was rating the game, a 5 out of 5 or whatever, you know, like, it would affect it for me. I think it would knock it down a little bit. So, and again, I think I'm probably mostly alone in that, but I think other people could see it too.
Yeah. I can't say it really, annoyed me, at least not on the first playthrough. And to be honest with you, as much as I do like the game, I'm not going to do a second playthrough. I don't think it's one of those games for me.
For sure.
So I will never find out. But I think the largest issue for me is definitely if you walk away from this game long enough, there is some getting your bearings back involved. It's not you're not just jumping right into it, especially with the Xbox quick resume.
Yeah, because it literally just boop like.
Like you never left,
right.
But it's been a week and a half. I'm like, crap. Don't know what's going on right now. There are little things like Raz will say kind of outside in character, like to himself or to the player, I guess. Oh, yeah, I have to go to the bowling alley and do this and that. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I have to do. And it's neat. But it definitely could be done cleaner. But other than that, I think this is one of those sequels that is at the same time very, very faithful to the original and also not having that be a detriment to where it feels like it's stuck in the first game's time. Like, it definitely feels like a newer game, feels like an updated, fresh experience, a fun, funny experience. And it definitely, and I think it's definitely worth the, if you are that person, 15-year wait.
Yeah, I agree. It's everything that we talked about that we found negative, I don't think any of them are detrimental by any means. It is not a perfect game, but it is a very, very good game. And again, like, I'm not trying to dog Double Fine, but to me, it's still just so surprising. And it's, and I think it is surprising simply because, like, Double Fine made Psychonauts, and, you know, we didn't love it back then, and we probably don't love it now, but
I agree with that.
But it found an audience, and I still think it's one of their better games. And since then, like, most of their games are not to the same level. Like, they don't make AAA games for the most part. Like they did Brutal Legend, and that was
not good.
Yeah, I'm still sort of confused by that game and the push that it got. Like, that game was supposed to be a big deal. Like, that was the, you know, if dating myself, I'm not dating myself, but, like, I remember weird things about certain events and stuff. Like, that was one where, like, I think it was, like, the first ever video game awards. They had Jack Black, because Jack Black was the character. And, like, the whole time, like, they're teasing, like, oh, you're, like, Tim Schafer's next game from Double Fine features Jack Black. Wait till the end so you can watch it. And there was, Jack Black had a flamethrower at one point, and they, like, they closed the show with this massive trailer for Brutal Legend. And it was just, like, I remember looking at that game and just being, like, I don't, what am I missing here? Like there's nothing about this that appeals to me. So it's just kind of strange. Like, I did not expect the level of quality from Double Fine simply because they don't make these type of games that much anymore because they're a smaller team, etc. So it's just, it's really cool that it's not only just a good game for people that like Psychonauts. I can confidently say that this is a fantastic game. Like, from start to finish, is really, really good. There's a couple things that might annoy you, but I cannot find any major fault to be like, no, you should not play this game.
No, I agree. I will go out and say I'm flat out surprised because I didn't like, I would say, most anything past Psychonauts 1. I mean, Brutal Legend, I remember getting that huge push. And then also Broken Age being like that year's indie darling, like where it was getting all the talk of the indie circuit. And I remember finishing that, like, and like it was nothing special there either. I do think they're hit or miss as a group, but I believe Psychonauts may be their bread and butter. That it might be the one where they just know all the beats and, you know, can easily hit those. Whereas anything else, you kind of have to do some more research before you go all in.
Right. Like, Headlander is a game I know that they made. Headlander's cool, but, like, if I never played Headlander, I wouldn't be upset about it. Like, so it's just refreshing, you know, and it's an interesting story because Microsoft now owns them. And so I'm next time Double Fine shows up in Microsoft's portfolio, I'm going to pay more attention. So that's exciting as a gamer. So, but there you have it. I think we've made our point. Psychonauts 2 is a definite play on Game Pass if you have it on PC or Xbox. Did you play an Xbox, or I'm just curious?
I did both, actually, just to kind of test things out, you know, like the save anywhere, resume
stuff.
Oh, wait,
stuff, does it have save anywhere?
It does have that.
Oh, okay, then I was wrong at the beginning, because the listing said no, so fix that, Microsoft.
I played on my PC. I started on Xbox, switched to my PC. My PC pulled the save. Started there, switched back to the Xbox. It did take a little finagling for Xbox to pull it from the cloud, I guess, or the server, or whatever. But other than that, it was pretty much butter. And it works on both.
Sometimes if you try going over from one to the other immediately, the Xbox is like, well, hang on a second, I'm not ready. So we didn't really talk too much about visuals and stuff. Like, we said it looks good, but there's one thing I want to say is that if you have an HDR TV, I actually think the HDR, the auto HDR implementation is very bad. It makes the brights way too bright unnaturally, and it makes the darks way too dark unnaturally. I turned off HDR, and I found the game to be... I am not a what they call a highlight whore or anything like that when it comes to HDR. I enjoy them, but I feel like this is an example of when HDR is just like, what if we just took all the colors and blew them out? Like, no, that's not great. Maybe if you have a very dull TV, like a not bright image, maybe that would help. But as someone who has an OLED, it's a stealth flex right there. It was just like, this is too much. I turned off the HDR, and it was significantly better to my eyes. So. It's the only other thing I guess I could say, but I don't really fault the game for that. So I didn't play it in 120 hertz, only played it in 60 because of HDMI 2.1 issues, so that's always fun. But there you go. Psychonauts 2, it's a play. You should play it. Play it now. Let us know what you think about it. gpopfans@gmail.com. Or you can shoot us an email or a text message or a voicemail, 574-651-9256. In terms of the future. The only game that I really have on the docket that I am interested to talk about is The Artful Escape. I'm going to make Basher play that, even though, small spoiler alert, I don't think he's going to like it. But I want to play it. All right, I've played it, and I want to talk about it. So is there anything on that you're looking at?
Is that one of those fancy-smancy games where it's all hoity-toity, artsy-smartsy?
It is... Yes, I'm going to say yes, but I'm not going to say anything else because I have a lot to say about it.
All right. I think there's a new runner on there. I think it's called Neon Abyss.
That is old. That is like a year and a half old.
I just saw the thing pop up.
I have no
idea. When it comes to Game Pass, I just kind of go with... cool art cover.
Neon Abyss, that, you know, I have played that game, and I would totally talk about that game. So
all right, that might be on the agenda. Knows,
and I played that because of Game Pass. That was one that I hopped into and played, and I that might have even been before we started podcast. I'm not sure. So there's also a game, and I don't know if it's on console as well. It's called Skatebird. I just have to see what that is. like what does that even mean? And there's also a game called I Am Fish. What does that even mean? So, all right, let's peek behind the curtain a little bit. We have been, I don't want to say struggling, but we've just had life sort of get in the way recently. And I have literally just been downloading every Game Pass game and just trying them for like 10 minutes. And the fact that like now they're dumping like 12 games, I'm actually super excited. But like, I Am Fish and Skatebird are some of the most ridiculous titles and covers I have ever seen that like, I have to see what they are. What is Skatebird? Like, I don't even, like, I have no idea what it is, but, like, is it, like, if you heard the name Skatebird, what do you think it is?
Just by the cover, it's a bird on a skateboard, so I'm in.
With headphones on. Like, what is it? I gotta know. I got to know.
I'm 100% and that's my pick.
Exactly. So there you go. But we're definitely going to be talking about the Artful Escape. We're going to be playing some stuff. So Neon Abyss was probably on the agenda. And maybe we're going to talk about some Skatebird, or maybe I Am Fish, because why not? But all right, that is going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. Like us and rate us on your favorite podcast service. It really does help out. And we will see you next time with the Artful Escape.
Good day, sirs.
And we are out.
Saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.